In Matthew chapter 27, if you would like to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. I've often read this portion of God's Word, and I've heard it preached around, but I've never heard it preached about, and I would like to share a few thoughts with you this evening about Matthew chapter 27, and we're beginning at verse number 33, so if you would like to turn to verse number 33. I want to speak on the subject of second chances tonight. Second chances, and we're reading from Matthew chapter 27. Beginning at verse number 33, and the Word of God says, "And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, with the scribes and the elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood there, when they heard that said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared to many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. I want to stop there, and I would like to take for our text this evening, verses 52 and 53, where the Word of God says, And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Amen. I'm going to be speaking on the subject of second chances this evening. But before we get into that, there's just a couple of things, most especially first of all, I have them underlined here, and second of all, that we really have to know that when Jesus went to the cross and suffered and died for our sins, because that's what he did, He that knew no sin became sin for us. And again, that's why the Lord cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. The Lord God in heaven forsook his Son Jesus Christ so that whenever we accept the payment on the cross, he'll never forsake us. That's the whole promise. But those times whenever they put the vinegar up, they say it was vinegar, and we immediately think of the stuff we put on our chips and upon our fish. But it wasn't. It was strong wine. In fact, it was probably wine that was pretty much off or rotten, full of alcohol. And it was really put up there to dull his senses, to give him relief from pain. And although it says one of them give him it in a sponge in verse number 48 and give him to drink, the Bible records in the other Gospels that whenever he realized what it was, he refused it. Because the Lord is not going to and is never going to do half a job. He didn't do 99% of the work on the cross and leave the rest to painkillers. I'm not saying anything against painkillers. They're a great invention. He did the whole job. He took all of our sins. He suffered for all of our sins. And he paid for all of our sins upon the cross to give us a second chance. A second chance not only at an eternity, but at a life right here and now. But I'm going to come to that in a little bit. I want to speak just for a few minutes about these saints that arose whenever the Lord Jesus Christ gave up the ghost. And whenever the graves were opened, a great earthquake, the graves were opened, the tombs, maybe the stones cracked or fell down or rolled away, and many of the saints that were in them and slept there, in other words, they were dead there, they arose. And the Bible records that they went into the holy city, into Jerusalem, and appeared to many. And I wondered, and I have a few other instances of people that were in similar situations. If we were to turn to John 11, you don't have to turn there right now, but you would read the story of Lazarus, you know, the brother of Mary and Martha, who died. And Jesus waited a few days before he went to visit Lazarus whenever he heard that he was sick to make sure that he was dead. And then took a few days to get there to make sure that there was no possibility of him just having been in a swoon, as the Jehovah's Witness would have you believe, but to make sure that he was dead. And he was more than 3 days dead, so that the body had begun to decay, so that he could call him back to life again, just to prove that he is as good as his word, that he is the master of life and death. He can do anything he wants. So we've got Lazarus. And does anyone remember about in Luke chapter 7 about the widow woman's son? About Jesus coming across the funeral procession, and there was the only son of a widow. In fact, her whole future was lying on a funeral bier. And he was being born through the town, and the Lord raised him back to life again. I wonder what sort of messages those people brought to those around and about him. I've heard many stories and many even comments about Christians in this day and age. One of them I actually heard in a film. I think it was called Late One Night. And I saw it, the last time I watched that was 2 or 3 years ago. But the atheist in it made an excellent point. He said, if you Christians really believed that there was a hell, and if you Christians really believed that everyone that dies without Christ in their life is going to spend an eternity in hell and then the lake of fire, screaming their lungs out, gnashing their teeth and gnawing upon their tongues for pain, every single nerve of their body on fire because they're tormented day and night in hell and then burned all over and even down their throat, forever and ever in the lake of fire. You should be out there preaching the gospel. And you should be serious about your Christian living. So I wonder, and I would like to, it's not strictly speaking the preaching of the cross tonight, but I would like to wonder upon the message that those people would bring back from the dead. Just for a moment. I want to speak about Lazarus. Just want to pass a comment on Lazarus. As you read the chapter that Lazarus was raised in, and then a little bit after that, you find that many people believed upon Jesus Christ because they had been speaking to Lazarus. Because of Lazarus, many people became believers in God Almighty. I'm not talking about churchgoers. I'm not talking about people that get all dressed up for church or put money in the tithes box or sing like little angels. I'm talking about people that believe that the Word of God is the Word of God and that every single word of the King James Bible is the Word of God. These are the people I'm talking about. Many people believed upon God for Lazarus' testimony. Do you ever wonder what Lazarus told the people whenever he came back. Now I know there was a story in Luke chapter 16 of Lazarus and the rich man. I believe that's a different Lazarus. That's a beggar Lazarus. This Lazarus wasn't a beggar. This, the brother of Mary and Martha, he wasn't a beggar. He was a friend of Jesus. He had his own home. He probably had his own job. He looked after his two sisters. All that stuff. Imagine what he came back to tell people. I was reminded even of Luke chapter 16, the discussion between the rich man and Abraham. Send Lazarus back to preach the gospel. To tell my brothers that this is a terrible place and that they're all headed here if they don't get their lives right with you. And Abraham said, you know what, Lazarus, if they're not going to listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to listen to one that was raised from the dead. And I remember many, many times as a lost man making those very same comments. I am not going to believe. Even if God himself comes down, I will not believe. I made those comments. And I am thankful the Lord not only has a sense of humor, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, and does give us second chances. Because I have said and done many, many things worthy of death many, many times. And I thank the Lord that through his Son, Christ Jesus, I am forgiven. And I am sure each one of us could say the same so many times. What do you think the widow woman's son spoke about whenever he first opened his eyes again in this life? What do you think all these saints told the people that they knew whenever they were raised from the dead again? The Bible never talks and never comments on anything that they ever said. But what do you think they said? If you had just spent, should it be a day? Should it be a week? Should it even be years? In paradise, in the heart of the earth, just across the way from hell. And you had been able to, just like Abraham and Lazarus, speak to some of those souls there. And you had seen the torment and the suffering that so many of those people, some even your friends and family members, had been going through. And realized that so many of their friends and family members were going to go to exactly the same place. I want to tell you the mind of the soul that is in paradise, and even the mind of the soul that is in hell in the lake of fire tonight. They want the gospel preached. They want the gospel heard. There are no unbelievers in hell now, friends. There are no unbelievers in heaven. There are no people that want to sit on their rear ends and do nothing because they're having a bad day in either heaven or hell. There are no atheists. There's nobody there that believes in evolution. There is nobody there that doesn't believe that there is a devil. There is nobody there that doesn't believe that there isn't a God. They are all true believers. I once heard a person comment, you know what would make Christians get up and get going of a day? Would be if they were to spend a day in hell. I reckon, you know, friends, it wouldn't take more than a few minutes and we would be probably the best. And maybe not the most eloquent of gospel speakers or preachers, but certainly determined to preach the gospel as soon as someone would stop and listen. Imagine the mind of the soul that's in paradise. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Not worried about who's going to wash the dishes. Not worried about who's putting the children to bed. Not worried anymore about who's going to pay the bills for the newspaper. Who is going to be bringing home the bread. Or I hope the wife cooks my tea just the way I like it. None of those none of those things which are of any importance in eternity. Not worried about them anymore. Not worried about what set of clothes they're going to put on. Because they're all dressed in robes of righteousness. At least they are and were at this time in paradise. Not worried about where the next penny's going to come from, because in paradise, Jesus paid it all. Worried about nothing, except maybe friends who have not yet come to Christ. Thinking maybe, do you know what? I wish, in the words of the song, I had given him more. Have you ever thought that about a friend who's beyond your reach? I wish I told him. I wish I had done this. I wish I had helped them out. Have you ever thought that? I can point my finger to at least two people in my life that I wish I'd gone and overtly preached the gospel to. One of them I did get a chance to share the gospel with, and it caused us to part company for a number of years. But just towards his last month in this world, the Lord said, you ought to get in touch with Alan again. And I thought, you know what, that's a good idea. I'll do that. You know the way we so many times we think in our minds, I'll do that later. And then the next thing I hear is that he has fallen down and died. And I had an old uncle, across the old Bachelor, and I was as far away from him as I am from Brother Kevin this evening, just across a road. And the Lord said to me, as plain as I'm speaking to you tonight, go and tell Harry that he needs to get saved. And because of the company that I was with, I refused to go and do it. And a short while later, I'd heard that Harry had died and gone to a Christless eternity. And friends, imagine when you have time now that you're in paradise and you're not fussed or bothered with any of the other cares or worries of this world, that you can sit down and think about the most important thing in the world, men's souls. And all those souls that we come across day by day that you never gave a gospel tract to, that you, in fear of what other people would think, that you never spoke the words of eternal life to him. Imagine that. And imagine them sitting, grinding their teeth for lost opportunities. Now, don't grind your teeth in heaven, but you know what I mean when I say that, or in paradise. Now, imagine the opportunity to make good on those wrongs. And that's exactly what these people were given the opportunity to do. I don't know for sure who it was. People could have been in the grave for years, for decades, or they could have been in the grave for only a day. But regardless of that, they went into the holy city. God said, look, it's not very often I do this, but we're having a special occasion. My son is coming down to paradise and has a job for you guys. I want you guys to go back into town and preach the gospel. How big a line do you think there would have been? How many people would be down there in paradise, would know people, and would really know that they're still alive and want them to hear the gospel? And how many of them do you think would be convinced by a dead man turning up at their door? A man at whose funeral they turned up. A man who was pronounced dead in the newspapers. A man, they've even seen the death certificate. And yet he comes to the door. Fred, what about you? Imagine what was going through Fred's mind when his dear old dead friend suddenly appeared at the door. What would you do if you were given a second chance? I think the first thing that I would do, I don't think there'd be any problem remembering any of the Bible. It would be etched into your mind and into your heart, just like the Lord etched his words into those tablets of stone that he gave to Moses to carry down. And do you know what? Many people think that all Moses did for 40 days and 40 nights was learn the Ten Commandments. He had hundreds of God's laws and commands etched into his heart, which he then faithfully wrote down, which over the thousands of years have been faithfully copied and passed along. What do you think Fred would do when his dear old dead friend turns up? Do you think that Fred would be in the frame of mind to listen to what his dead friend has to say? I think he might. And I don't know if it was Christ's preaching, it was the best, or these raised saints' preaching, which reinforced Christ's preaching. I am sure many, many souls came to the foot of the cross when they realized that these are not just people that were mistakenly thought dead, but the very messengers of God Himself Almighty. But very few occasions in the whole of the Bible where people ever got to come back and make good on bad mistakes. But I am sure these people made a good job. I want to ask you a few questions. What sort of message do you think they would have spoken? What message would someone that has seen hell and the suffering in it, and experienced paradise and the joy in it, what sort of message do you think that they would preach? Do you think that they would preach, and well, do you know what? We ought to tell people to live right. They ought to put away drink. They ought to put away drugs. They ought to put away violence, immorality. Do you think that would be the message? Do you think it would be about wearing suits and shirts and ties in church? Do you think it would be about raising your kids right? Do you think it would be about loving your husband or your wife right? I think it would be good old-fashioned, solid repentance. You need to get down on your hands and knees, and you need to tell God that you are sorry for your sins. Because let me tell you something. Where do you think I have been for the past weeks, days, months, years? I have been there and I have seen it. It is just like it says in the Word of God. It is a place of torment. It is a place where there is no water. It is a place where people gnash and wail and they scream their lungs out for a respite from the torment that they so rightly deserve. And a friend, I would not have you go there. So repent of your sins. Get right with God. Look at me. Whenever I died, I was old. I was broken. I was riddled with disease. Look at me. I am raised from the dead. I am full of health and vigor. And the gospel message, and this is it for you. I often wondered whatever happened to those people. Whatever happened to most people that preached the gospel in those days? Maybe a knife in the back. Maybe the Pharisees sent the soldiers round to round them up and kill them again. Do you think they were worried? Oh, I'm sure it might have hurt them when the swords and the spears were stuck in or when the poison took a hold. But do you think they would be worried about leaving this filthy, sin-cursed world to go not to paradise this time, but to heaven? I don't think so. And that's what makes a good gospel preacher. Not worrying what effect the truth would have. Do you think they would be convincing in their gospel preaching? I believe they would be. Because having experienced it firsthand is always a great way of helping you remember. I don't think there would be any problems describing the torment. I don't think there would be any problems describing the great relief. I don't think there would be any problems describing the fathers of the Jewish race, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and all the judges and all the kings that they have had a chance to speak to, even in that brief time in paradise. I don't think there would be any problem with them being convincing. What about their dedication? I don't think they were worried too much about getting down to the pub. No. I don't think they were worried too much about visiting the local whorehouse. No. I don't think they were worried too much about finding out what was going on in the local newspapers. Honestly, I don't think so. I think they went down to the synagogues and their friends' houses and stood in the street corners and they preached the gospel. And they were down there from morning till night until just by sheer exhaustion they had to stop. In fact, many of them, I believe, would have died preaching their hearts out. I don't think there would have been a problem with their dedication, friends. When do you think they would stop warning souls? I don't think they ever stopped warning souls as long as they were alive. I don't think they ever retired. I don't think they ever went on vacation. I think for maybe the first time in their lives, they realized just how urgent it is that souls get saved. And I wonder where it is they preached. Do you ever stop and think for a moment or two? Have you ever been paying for something and the Lord just says to you, go and give her a tract? Go and speak to her about Jesus. If the Lord has never spoken to you about that, you need to clean your ears out, because he speaks like that to me all the time. And sometimes I kick myself because I come out without gospel tracts. I have a penknife in my pocket, I have a flashlight in another pocket, I have my phone in another pocket, and a wallet in another pocket, and some loose keys, and a key chain, or some loose change and a key chain, and even a memory key or two, but so often I leave without gospel tracts. I think they would preach anywhere and everywhere. If they were going in to get a wee bit of bread to keep them going, they would tell them, the baker, you need to get saved. I've just come back from paradise, and I have seen hell, and you need to get saved. When they're going for a drink of water, or people come up, you need to get saved. I have just come from there, and the need is so incredibly great, you need to get saved. I'll go away and think about that. Will you be here tomorrow? You can bet your bottom dollar I'll be here tomorrow. And I'll be here the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and I'll be preaching exactly the same message, because I know that it's true. Not because the Bible tells me so, but because I've seen it with my own eyes. It is for real, and people need to know about it. Imagine God visiting with them from time to time, and speaking with them, and outlining his plans and his desires for souls to be saved. Imagine the revival that started. And not even for by these souls that have stepped up out of the graves. Not only do we have these first-hand witnesses of eternity, but we also had souls imbued with the Holy Ghost for the first time ever, all the time. And I believe that the devil really had to punch a clock and work really, really hard, doing a lot of overtime, to do his utmost to destroy Christianity. We read so many desperate stories about that time. We read about Herod just killing so many of the apostles. We read about the Caesars of Rome having Christians burning in their gardens so that they had torches to drive their chariots through at night. Them being thrown into the wild animals. People who want nothing more than to raise their children and to live right and pay their taxes and to help their fellow man, they were thrown in against trained killers and the gladiators for no other reason than that they wanted souls to be saved. Imagine getting that second chance, friends. I honestly don't think there would be one person that would count their life worth anything if you got that second chance. Friends, I think that would be the best way to make sure that you would never have any regrets, is to be in a position or have a little bit of time to think and then have the opportunity to act. And friends, even though I hope and pray we never have to come back to this filthy, sin-cursed world once we get up to heaven. Not as mortals anyway. But through Jesus Christ, friends, each one of us has been given that second chance. And I am not talking just about salvation. I'm not talking just about a second chance to get to heaven. In fact, truth be told, how many second chances have we actually had before we were saved, to get saved, to repent of our sins and to come to Jesus Christ as our Savior? I had dozens. I must have broke the heart of many as a Christian in the years that people were praying for me and reaching out, and the Lord was reaching out to me. But what about a second chance now, friends? For I know that each one of us knows people and has friends and family that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You see, the Lord just didn't come to give us eternal life. He came to give us a more abundant life. And that can only happen in this world, friends. Because everybody in eternity is going to have a great life. But there is a way to, many people in this world only just have a life. But as a Christian, as a God-fearing Christian, you can have an abundant life. You can have a second chance to undo mistakes. To go back and rub out and remake and redraw the lines in your life, to speak words that you should have spoken and to do deeds that you should have done, that we should have done. I'm sorry if I keep making it sound like I've got it all right up here and I'm talking about you. I'm talking about us. This is the royal you we're talking about. We have a second chance. We have the opportunity right now to go home and not turn the television on, to not go home and sit around and talk absolute drivel and nonsense, but just to go to our room and open the Bible and say to the Lord, Lord, you gave these people a second chance. They had time and time to burn in paradise to think about all the people they wanted to speak to. And then they were given that opportunity. Lord, would you bring to mind the people that I need to speak to? Would you bring to mind, Lord, the things that I need to do? The prayers that I need to lift up? The souls that I need to stand in the gap for and say, look, hold on a second, we're having a tough time. I'll take it in the chin. Make sure you're well prayed up for that. I'll take it in the chin for them. We have a second chance, friends. We have that opportunity. If you never thought about it before tonight, this is the opportunity. I don't know what another day will bring for any of us, but I hope it's another day of life and service to the King of Kings. Friends, we have a second chance. And this second chance that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us will enable others to have a second chance at a better eternity. And I want to say that I have never enjoyed tracking so much for such a long time as I did on Tuesday. Not just because Brother Kevin was out, Brother Mark Pang was out, because Mark and Jeremiah were out, because Brother Stan was out, Brother Christy, Brother Billy. I think that's us all, wasn't it? And I know that Brother Steve and Brother Neil were praying for us because I asked them to. And we got so many houses leafleted. Didn't get an opportunity to speak to any, but I pray that I think Jeremiah got to speak to somebody, didn't he? And Brother Stan was amazed, and he said, he just went up there and he says, hello, we're from Bethel Baptist Church in Campsie, and we're just doing a gospel outreach in your area, and here's a little gospel track for you. Out of the mouths of babes and innocents. Friends, there's your second chance. There's your second chance. I am sure there were at least 1,000 leaflets went out, doubled up and trebled up. And I am looking forward to tomorrow. There's a part of me is terrified. The old man doesn't want to be out. But the Lord doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to go home tonight and I'm going to check the batteries and the speakers. And I'm going to check that there's enough leaflets to give to people. And if there's not, I'm going to go out to my belt and I'm going to print some. So one way or another, there will be stuff in our hands to put into other people's hands. And I want for each one of us here tonight, hey man, what were we able to accomplish whenever we put our heads together at the start of the year? We were able to get 2 full pages in a local newspaper for 2 weeks. What can we accomplish if we take a few minutes tonight and just go before the Lord in prayer and ask people's hearts and minds to be softened to the gospel? We are not going to get another chance at that. It's no good doing it tomorrow. It's no good putting it off until the morning. It is no good leaving it undone, friends. The Lord loves us, but he loves every soul in this world. And he wants us all to be saved. He says so in his Bible. So let us pray tonight for hearts and minds, for resources, for just being in the right place at the right time. And let us go on until we're done. Until our voices are so hoarse that we can't speak another word. Until our pockets are so empty that we have no option but to leave. And let us make the most of this opportunity. The days are getting darker. And as Brother Allen was so fond of saying, and it's like almost like a phrase that could have been coined in Ireland, We are closer now than we ever have been to the coming of the Lord. It's true. So let us take and make the most of the opportunities that are presented to us. Let us give while we can. Let us go while we can. Let us preach and teach while we can. And let us reach out while we can. There are places in the UK where you get into a lot of trouble. In America, it's supposed to be the home, the land of the brave and the home of the free or something like that. We're supposed to have free speech. We're supposed to have Christian countries. Let us make the most of these opportunities. Let us take the second chance at reaching out to lost souls. And let us pray and go with love in our hearts, friends. Because that's what got you and I here. It was the love of God Almighty. And that's what will get other people into heaven. It's the love of God Almighty and the sacrifice of His Son on the cross for you and I. And let us remember, and let us not depend upon the Lord raising us up and sending us out amongst our friends. Let us take our second chances now, whilst we are still here, whilst the Lord is still on the throne. He's never not going to be in charge, but let us make the most of our life and our health and our strength as the Lord supplies and tell people about Jesus. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time this evening.